Good morning, everyone. We are here today for the Economic Development Committee meeting on Tuesday, September 7th, 2021 at 10 a.m. And first item, of course, is the call to order. Second item will be the approval of minutes from the November 30th, 2020 and the July 6th, 2021 meetings. And I'm wondering myself about the November 20th. Is there something missing that we didn't do that one at some point?
Word to us was that it just slipped through.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we caught that then. So, all right, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, motion, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. No one's against. Third item, public comments. Is there anyone here today who would like to make a public comment in regard to economic development in the town of Mount Pleasant? Hearing none, we will move on to item number four. Update on the status and selection of an economic development consultant. And Ms. Farrell, are you going to take care of that for us?
I am. Ms. Sims, when you're a mother of young children, sometimes they get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not able to be here this morning. So yes, I'm going to handle a couple of these items on here. And so starting first with the economic development consultant, we did go through an RFQ process. We had five different proposals submitted to the town for consideration, and we have now successfully are moving forward with a contract with SB Friedman.
Oh, I'm sorry, with SB Friedman. SB Friedman is a national firm, and I think what is going to be especially beneficial to us is SB Friedman is also the consultant on the One Region Roadmap project. So they are already working with the COG, CRDA, and the Metro Chamber, who are all important partners to us when it comes to economic development. Their charge is to review our ED strategy and analyze its strengths and weaknesses. They're going to offer recommendations regarding target industries and identify future steps for us. As part of their work and their research, they will be reaching out to all of you on this committee as well as the rest of our council members for stakeholder interviews. They'll also be interviewing CRDA, our local chambers, Mount Pleasant as well as Charleston, the Waterworks group, and the port. Their work is scheduled to be complete by the end of this year, and they will be submitting a report and providing a presentation back to this committee as well as to town council. So things are moving forward with this project.
Can you tell us how soon they'll be starting with all, especially the interviews of council and so forth?
It should be within just a matter of weeks. And with that particular, we just signed the contract about a week or so ago. So they've got a tight schedule. And so that's one of the first things they need to do.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll be coordinating that with you all.
Sounds good. And what will the outcome of the product that they do for us look like? It will be like a booklet that gives us recommendations?
It's a report. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a report. It will identify target industries in it. It will provide us with guidance for how to look forward into the future for the next decade. The fortunate thing for us, as I mentioned, is they're doing the One Region plan. So it'll be able to look at us, not just our local part, but look beyond and how we play a part in the region.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions or thoughts?
I don't. I think it's really good that we're doing it, but I have no questions at this time.
Anyone else?
What's our budget for that?
We negotiated for $80,000.
Any other comments, questions? All right, seeing none, we're going to move on to item number five, and this is a presentation of an indoor esports and content production facility for the upper end of Faison Road. As many people know, it's been discussed before, there's quite a bit of land that is already zoned as part of a PD, but could easily be used for ED, economic development, on Faison Road. Faison Road is already being four-laned by the hospital and Costco and is already paid and scheduled. I don't know what the schedule is, but scheduled to be four-laned all the way up to the airport. And, of course, most people realize that a lot of what we have up there right now are fields, Oceanside Academy, and several senior living areas. So slowly, the left side of Faison Road, as you go on that road, are filling in. some of them smaller businesses. This project came to our attention, and actually Tom and I ended up having a meeting a while back. And in fact, I think it was before COVID, but it was at least during that time. No, because it was in person, so it had to have been before. And then, of course, last year put a lot of things on hold or slowed them down, especially in terms of coordinating how to do the meetings and so forth. But we have gone as far as actually having this idea presented to the folks at Explore Charleston, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Helen Hill, her team, and with great excitement. So we thought it would be appropriate to go ahead and have the person behind all this come and speak to us and share it with us today, because it does check off a lot of boxes of what I've heard as in my position on council, but also living in this end of town as to things that people in our public really, really want. So if without further ado, Mark Schuster, could you please come to the podium? And you do have to state your name and where your address, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. My name is Mark Schuster. Thank you so much. I actually live not far from here. I live off of 6 Mile. Have lived here for 20 some odd years, so I consider this home. First and foremost, I'm not a video gamer. Never have been. I seem to be in the business now, and it's big business is what it is. My background really, excuse me, is in building multi-purpose venues primarily for professional sports, soccer, baseball, concerts, entertainment, and I've been doing that around the country for the past, well, I've been in the business for 30 years, but for the past 20 years, I've been designing and building multi-purpose venues and then owning and operating those sports teams and those businesses on a year-round basis. So I go all around the country pitching these ideas to build these multi-purpose venues, and over the past few years, pre-COVID, this idea of esports kept coming up in conversations and meeting with city managers and with council. Would you consider doing not only your multi-purpose venue, but something involving esports? And what is esports? I mean, esports is competitive organized video gaming is what it really is. And so here I am sitting in a city like Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, in the middle of nowhere, and I live 3 miles down the road. Why are we not bringing this here to my hometown? And that's really the genesis of the idea. We're doing it elsewhere, and I'll show you a map here as to what's going on around the country and around the world. But esports is big business now. It really is. To give you an idea of how popular esports is around the world, the next slide I'm going to show you, they built the Nest. The Nest was a venue in Beijing, China, that was built primarily for the Olympics and for their opening and closing ceremonies and for sports throughout. Seats about 100,000 people. When they hosted what they call the League of Legends tournament, which I'm sure you're all players in that video game, the Nest sold 90,000 tickets in 1 minute to the League of Legends tournament. Just insane. Internationally, very popular. Now in North America, you see it is kind of moving over. Toronto just announced a $1.6 billion venue. Las Vegas is going to build a $2 billion esports venue. But it is big business. This is one that was held. This is the Fortnite tournament held where the U.S. Open is right now. And that was held a couple of years ago. So the venue itself, it is a venue. It's primarily for esports and gaming, but there's also, and I'll go through it here in a second, but it's we treat it as a venue with different kinds of programming. High technology, it's going to be on the inside, but there's a 1,600-seat auditorium is what you're looking at right here, where people come to watch other people play video games. I know it's hard to get your head around, okay, where people go, and in the case of the Nest, those 90,000 people paid $55 each per ticket to watch other people play in a video game. And so you ask, well, why? Well, why would somebody do that? It's the same reason why we go to sporting events and we watch other people play. We sit at home on a Sunday afternoon and watch golf on TV. It's what these gamers do. So target audience, surprisingly, about half of them are female, the players out there. People want to attend these live esports events, but there's very few venues around the country right now. When you talk about viewership, you see these numbers off to the right. Excuse me. In 10 years, esports will have more viewership than all the major sports combined. It is meteorically rising in terms of viewership. In terms of gross revenues, By 2022, they're going to be close to $2 billion in gross revenues for gaming and esports. A big part of this, and depending on which markets these go to, is you know, what is happening with our youth, and are there programs at the high school and college level that are in the esports and gaming business and community? You now have universities offering scholarships, full scholarships for gamers. And it's, you know, 10 years ago was unheard of, and we couldn't believe it, but it's just, that's what the case is. This is the map right now. There are five venues that currently exist, and all these venues are actually renovated existing venues. The one up you see up in Philadelphia is Fusion Arena. That was an old venue in Philadelphia. They converted to an esports arena. The one in Arlington, another converted convention center. Las Vegas is inside of the Luxor Hotel. It's hard to even know it's even there. And then you got one in Oakland and one in San Diego. And so it's my belief, in starting this a few years ago, that there will be an ecosystem in esports very similar to professional sports, whether it be baseball, soccer, whatever it may be, where you're going to have your major league markets, you're going to have your AAA markets, your AA, single A. But the major league markets are going to be the places where the venues are the biggest and the place where people want to go to. And, you know, the idea of Charleston and Mount Pleasant came up because I was sitting in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And would I rather go to a tournament with my buddies if I were a gamer and go to the middle of Oklahoma or come to a beautiful place like this? And I think Charleston needs to be one of these major league markets, is what I believe. We'll talk about economic impact towards the rest of this presentation, but it's big business. Piece of property, as Kathy mentioned, we have signed an LOI with Chris and Laredo LLC for the front portion of that that site over there off of Phase on 29 acres. The venue itself is only going to take up, including parking, 6, 7, 8 acres. And so, as I'll go through here in a second, there's going to be other things on this site that'll be complementary to what we're doing with the esports venue. This is a design that we had our architects come up with, very sleek looking. Right now, it's 120,000 square feet. It's all on one level. We may decide ultimately whether it be here or somewhere else to actually stack this venue and do it one on top of the other, so 60 and 60. This is the current design that we have. Here are some other just renderings of what the facility would look like, to give you a visual. There's the actual venue itself, 1,600 seats. This floor is actually level, but ours would be sort of raised up and have sort of auditorium-style seating.
Mark, do you mind if I jump in? Thank you. I just wanted to make sure everybody caught what Mr. Schuster just said, which is he gave us this presentation based on what's going on in the world, but we're not talking about something that would be built that would be bringing, you know, 80 or 90,000 people to Mount Pleasant. Obviously, that would be unbelievable. We could not do that. So it's an auditorium. It's an arena for 1,500 to 1,600 seats.
1,600 seats is the actual auditorium.
Right. And so this is a scaled-down version of what goes on in other parts of the country.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll talk about hotel rooms here in a second. But this is the auditorium. Believe it or not, and I had trouble getting my head around this one, but this particular area inside of the venue itself is where, if you have a child or somebody, an adult child, who plays video games, you can come here and have somebody else teach you how to be a better video game player. And so these pods are set up so you can go inside the pod, have a professional teach you to be a better gamer. Now, these gamers, the good ones out there across the country and across the world, are earning between $4 and $10 million a year in tournaments. I mean, it's astounding. Besides what's going to be on this 29-acre track, we talked about a lot of different things. Kathy did mention the post-production film studio, which is really not in my area, but it's something that gets talked about a lot in all the meetings I go to, that there's a need to have that here not only South Carolina, but in the Mount Pleasant area. We think a hotel would be a great addition to what we're going to do on site, as well as restaurants. So if you think about you take your kid to a soccer tournament somewhere in the country, there's a lot of downtime. And so we got to figure out, these families who are traveling, what are they going to do when they're not playing in a game or actively involved inside of the esports venue? And so it's important to have restaurants, entertainment, other things on site. more stuff here, retail shopping, lazy river surrounding development. None of this is set in stone, but I wanted to give you an idea that we're trying to create a destination that people come to, not only from this area, but from around the country to travel for tournaments, and what are they going to do in their downtime? There you go right there. You've already seen this picture right here. I told you about inside. There's also some dining area, retail gaming store, and the training center that I mentioned. Virtual reality, there'll be a big section of the area inside of this venue for VR, and that stuff is changing every single day, the virtual reality technology. But, you know, it's something that we want to include in our programming for sure. Convention hall, 40,000 square feet. It's something that we can use for our tournaments that come in, but it can also be used for other things that are non-esports related. Non-esports stuff, boxing, mixed martial arts, concerts, corporate presentation. Again, we treat this as a venue even though we're leading with esports. Here's a rendering that was done by Chris and his folks out there at Laredo LLC. They've done some work on this post-production film studio. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this other than we have the room if we can find the resources to actually build this thing. Next is, again, this is including the post-production film studio. I just wanted to give you a view from 30,000 feet as to the scope of this project. You've got land acquisition, you've got construction costs, and you're talking about a project all in for venue and film studio of about $80 million. If we were to put the film studio in phase two, we're talking about a project of $50 million. We had engaged a private equity firm to help us raise this money to build this here. The only other piece I would mention here, which is really important to your group, is that we believe putting on 18 tournaments a year over weekends, that we can fill about 20,000 hotel rooms over the course of the year from people traveling in. They travel in bunches and they go to all these tournaments, and it's all they do is travel to tournaments. $10 million of taxable income this operation will produce each year. Not only jobs for construction, but permanent full-time jobs here on site, not only for esports, but for all the other things that are going on site. So that's what it is. I wanted to give you a high-level view of what we're working on around the country, and I believe this is the perfect place to have this because, you know, going back to the earlier map, this is going to happen. It's a matter of whether it's going to happen here or somewhere else. This will happen for sure. If you look at the past 50 years of development of venues for sports and other things, this is going to happen, and it's just happening at a much quicker pace than some of the other sports have. So I appreciate your time and open up any questions you may have.
Would anyone like to ask any questions?
Ready? Nobody knows anything about gaming, so that's the reason why nobody has any questions.
Well, I'll share a couple things. First of all, there's a couple synergies here. And also, would you mind mentioning part of what you've been involved with here was actually Joe Riley Stadium, isn't that correct?
Yeah, Howard and I were talking earlier. Howard is my right-hand man in building Joe Riley Stadium. I couldn't have done it without him. And so I moved here in 96. I was the original general manager of the River Dogs, spent 4 years there, and then I kind of went out on my own and built some more venues just like Joe Riley around the country, designing and building, but ultimately owning and operating those businesses.
So definitely a background that lends itself. This is just a new twist to it. a couple things. One, some of the synergies here. I know when I was first elected to council and was on the Economic Development Committee as a member, I put out a thing on Nextdoor on that end of town because it involved about 11,000 eyes. 11,000 people, 22,000 eyes, looking at it. And I asked, what do we need on this end of Mount Pleasant that we're missing? And there were a lot of things. It went on for days and days and days. I've probably referenced that several times before. But one of the biggest things that came out repeatedly was we need somewhere that has indoor recreation facilities for, especially for families, but even for people of all ages. And some people even said, you know, when the weather's not nice, we want a place that we can go, but we also want variety in what we can do. So this is something that certainly fits that area. Another thing that I have heard and learned over the years, again, a lot of folks don't realize, we know that things like Outer Banks use our beautiful venues to film, but then where does the revenue go? what does the town of Mount Pleasant get out of revenue? Mainly the fact that they have catering costs and they have hotel rooms used and things like that. But most of the production revenue goes back somewhere else. And we have companies like Litton Entertainment right on Johnny Dodds, and that company produces 600 hours a year of broadcast television. Where does most of the revenue go? Back to LA or New York. And now we also have a company called Rough House right off of Annanap. And they produced Halloween II, but they also produce Righteous Gemstones. And where do they do that? They do that over in the Sears building in Citadel Mall after Sears closed out. So having the ability to have these two essentially synergistic things, because production facilities nowadays are not about just making movies or even just television. They're about making content, about commercials. I've used the example before, when Serena Williams comes and plays tennis at Daniel Island for a tournament, if she needs to do a 30-second spot for Nike, she has to get on a plane and go all the way to Atlanta, because we don't have anything in the entire state of South Carolina. Imagine if we had a three-venue working studio where she could simply go right over here to Faison Road and get that done. So there's a lot of things about this that are not only exciting for our young people as well as people of all ages, but also a tremendous amount of investment in our community, jobs, high-paying jobs, and things that are already here that we could now have a better ability to take advantage of the entire picture and help bring more services and great jobs to our people. So these are some of the reasons why we thought this was a pretty exciting idea. It has a lot of steps, a lot of moving parts, and a lot of things to be worked out. But, Mark, we really appreciate your sharing it. Tom?
Well, if I may.
Yes, please.
I have a question. These gamers that come in, these 1,600 folks, will they come in the morning and those 1,600 will remain there all day? Or will you have different sessions with different 1,600 folks for different venues throughout the day? Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yes. We could do it where we could have more than 1,600 and just stack them across the way. It depends on the game itself, how many hours it takes to actually play a game. But it's not limited to just 1,600 per tournament. It's limited to 1,600 capacity at any one particular time.
Per session?
Yes, per session, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And your expectation would be multiple sessions throughout a weekend?
Yes, although we did not build our pro forma with that. We simply build it being conservative with just the same 1,600 people, but yes.
Okay, going back to your analogy relative to soccer tournaments, you know, you'll have two teams that will play and you've got 16 that are waiting to come and play after that. So I didn't know if you were going to rotate them throughout the day or if those 1,600 would be there all day.
Our hope is that we're going to rotate them for sure, because that'll maximize our revenue in our operation. Thanks for the question.
Good.
Okay. Laura, anything?
I have a nephew that mentioned this to me a few years ago, and I thought it was crazy. So now it's not as crazy to me today because I've already heard it. But I am aware that this is going on, and it's popular with that generation. Yeah, so sounds great.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this today, and we will look forward to hearing updates on anything that you can share with us.
Yes, thank you for your time.
Okay, moving on. Item number 6 is an update on the Mount Pleasant Cultural Arts Center efforts to date. I had spoken with Marie-Louise Moretto, who is here with us today to present, because this is something that we not only have been hearing about for quite a while, but also we ended up making a facility through the town to be able to have charitable donations made towards this facility, so this building. So we wanted to hear where we are, what stage we're at, and what we can be doing. So if you'll join us when you get a chance, state your name and address, if you will. Actually, I'm not sure. We do need to do that, right? No, we don't need to do that. I'm sorry. Never mind. That's just public comment. Thank you.
Well, good morning, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm Marie-Louise Moretto, and I live at 1133 Liberty Co-op, which is in Sneed Farm. I am the president of the Mount Pleasant Community Art Center Committee. We were founded in 2016. We are 501c3, which is dedicated to expanding the access to arts in Mount Pleasant through the development of a community cultural arts center. We're governed by a volunteer board of directors, and we believe very strongly in inclusion, collaboration, and motivation. I'm going to turn this presentation over to Linda Eisen, who's one of our board members. Linda is also on the board of the Carolina Film Alliance, and she is the owner agent for Coastal Talent.
Hi, I'm Linda Eisen. I live at 1600 Long Grove Drive. I'm a transplant up north, been here 17 years. This is very much home right now. So many wonderful things about living in the area and east of the Cooper. What we don't have is opportunities to engage in the performing arts. We don't have venues for people to perform in. We don't have venues to bring people into. We don't have rehearsal spaces. We have this incredibly diverse, educated population here east of the Cooper, and the only opportunities to engage in the arts, either as an audience or as one of the very talented performers, professionals who live here, is to go someplace else. Personally, I am directing a project for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. We would have loved to have been able to put it up here in Mount Pleasant, but there are no venues that are available to us, so we had to do it somewhere else. So we are really hoping that under your comprehensive plan for the Cultural Arts Center, we can include facilities that would provide opportunities for creative, performing, visual, and literary arts right here for the people that are here. We have an incredible talent base. We've got people that are looking for wonderful things to do. There are arts opportunities for small children, those kind of programs, but we need something bigger. Plus, people would come here, like all these other things that we're talking about. People would come to see a performance, and they would stay. They would stay in the hotels. They would stay in the restaurants. So we're really asking to be included in that conversation for the Cultural Arts Center. Any questions?
I'd like to make just a couple comments. First of all, there's no certainty yet on the outcome, but we are in the process of looking at, we've made an offer related to land that is in the same general area as this other project that we just heard about. It's not the same property, it's different. But one of the things that I can say about it is that we will be, with our economic development consulting group, we will be looking at what's most appropriate for that land. And the idea of having something that's right there in the heart of where there's an awful lot of our population, a lot of our families, it's in an area that's right near the schools. It does seem like a perfect area to be able to have a Mount Pleasant Cultural Arts Center, Performing Arts Center. I lived in Greensboro for a period of years and was there when they built the Greensboro Cultural Arts Center, and it was a theater venue, so we had ballet from both the schools and also from the Greensboro Ballet Company performing there. We also had all kinds of concerts, this local symphonies. We also had artist studios, places that, you know, for painting and sculpture and things like that. So there were practice studios. So I think that's what you've been envisioning, right, is something that's all-encompassing of the arts?
Absolutely. You know, a place for both classes and local groups, and also to bring in outside professional groups and places for professionals to be able to perform. So, yes, to include all the things that you mentioned.
So so one of the things that I mentioned to Marie-Louise and that we are actually, when I was involved in Greensboro also with the Children's Museum, we actually built a Children's Museum. It was modeled after the one in Boston. I flew up there and saw that one. I was the treasurer the year that we raised the money and got it started. And we had one lady who herself was in a position of, you know, having an impact financially, but she also had a lot of friends that were in that position. And so she was able to be that instigator in a very positive way. Instigator is the wrong word, but to really get it off the ground. And sure enough, not only did we build the Children's Museum of Greensboro, but it became a model for the East Coast. People started coming from all over, and it was self-sufficient financially within 5 years, which was pretty amazing. I share that because we now have a lady who has offered, and she has tremendous reach and tremendous contacts to be a person that could help spearhead that. I won't mention names right now, but I do want people to know we've got the combination of the possibility of the proper place for it, certainly a lot of work being done, a fund where people can make contributions, and now we have a person who'd be willing to serve as one of the major spearheading folks for this. So just wanted to, I appreciate your coming today. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Thank you so much for coming, ladies, and sharing this, and we look forward to hearing more updates and moving forward with this, hopefully.
Thank you so much.
Okay, item 7 is presentation on updates on the technology and logistics campus on Long Point Road. We've added, we announced the technology campus before COVID, so it's been well over a year and a half ago. And then, of course, like everything else, a lot of things were put on hold or slowed way down. And we've added logistics to the name now, partly for two reasons. One is that with a lot of discussion, because the port is here and we have shipping-related businesses that are not only coming to Mount Pleasant to be near the port, but also ones that are looking to expand, logistics fits into that. But also the way this would be situated on Long Point Road lends itself to that. So if we could have Mr. George Sarkis and Bobby Goslin come to the mic, and they're going to give us an update on this project known as The Point.
Do I have to tell you who I am, what I do, any of those things? Anyway, I'm one of the principals of Long Point Cooper Development. We own the property on a corner of Bell Point and Long Point across from Bell Hall. Typically, right now, currently, the Chick-fil-A is on that property. We developed that, I believe, around 3 years ago. We've been trying to develop a solution on how we were going to move forward. And quite frankly, due to COVID and the concerns that we had with office development, we sidetracked and put the project on a back burner until we got through this whole COVID concern. So since then, we've actually done some research, and what we've determined is as much as we want to continue to create a pretty large project for technology and shipping, we felt that we needed to downsize the office side of the project, only because there's over 400,000 square feet of office coming on stream in the Charleston area. And although we feel that that's pretty significant, we still see an opportunity for the town of Mount Pleasant as well to create an environment where people can, middle class and upper middle class, we can create jobs for them through developing this technology campus. In order to do that, we had to get through some specific issues. A couple of them were we needed to develop a solution on how we were going to relieve traffic for the Chick-fil-A, because currently the Chick-fil-A is doing incredibly well. And we've gotten a lot of feedback that it's created some problems in traffic in that area. So we wanted to create a solution to deal with that. We also wanted to create a solution, a parking solution, so we wouldn't have any concerns with parking, as well as obviously we want to create an environment where people want to, especially on the technology side, young folks would come here and work there and enjoy working in a space that makes sense for them. I took some pictures of what the area looks like now. I don't know if I sent them. Do we have them up, Kathy?
We're retrieving them right now.
They were having trouble finding them, but they've just found
them.
No,
we just got them. So
for some reason, it went to the junk
file
instead.
That's the plan.
It ended up in our junk folder.
You should have pictures.
That came from you, right?
Yeah, they came from me.
Yeah, we're retrieving them right now.
Okay. basically, this was an old concrete site. And to be honest with you, it's got probably currently 400 to 500 truckloads of concrete still on it. It's used as a dump site for the town of Mount Pleasant residents. We've gotten everything from deer carcasses, dead deer carcasses thrown on it, to trucks and a number of other, a bunch of other debris that I won't even mention here. It's really, we've done a lot to continue to clean it up and try to keep it as organized as possible. Primarily, we haven't done anything with the concrete because, quite frankly, the concrete would be used to be recycled and put back into the project. I don't know how many people have gone by that area, but if you've seen that area, I took a number of pictures.
It's a different email, Martin.
If we can't get them, it's not a big issue.
It's an earlier email.
Yes. Folks would know what they look like. It's really been an area that's really needs to be cleaned up, especially given the fact that it's still in the center of the town. That being said, I wouldn't worry about it if you can't find them.
Maybe in your inbox?
That's where I'm looking.
The idea was just to show the before and after.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's the only thing I've got so far from you.
It's not in that.
But it's not in that.
So no, it's not in there because that's just the plan. That's the plan, which is exciting.
So if you could bring up the plan, we could share with you what our thoughts are and what our efforts are behind it.
That's the only email I got today.
So right currently, as I said, this is a 9.5-acre property, about a little over an acre is a Chick-fil-A. There's about a little over 8 acres that's really nothing more than basically a town dump with concrete on it. What our plan is to obviously develop it in a very concise manner with putting a gas station up adjacent to the Chick-fil-A. We would put a 40,000 square foot office in the back. If you notice, it would be lettered A in this diagram. And then the rest of the property would be developed as retail. Synergistic with office, we would offer obviously food establishments. We would have potentially any type of technology companies that would want to come in here. It could be used for offices as well. If you notice, in section B, which is adjacent to A, it's our thoughts that we're going to build that as a two-story building with the potential to add additional office up on the second floor. So if we have a high demand for office in A, we can also use it for, we can also put office in B as well. So the concept would be that we could add an additional 14,000 square feet of office in B to complement our primary building for office, which would be A. The design is relatively simple. We expanded the Chick-fil-A parking and we also expanded the Chick-fil-A drive-through. So today's Chick-fil-A's drive-through, I believe, handles around 25 or 30 cars. It'll handle over 40 cars with the new plan, which should relieve significantly the traffic along the Bell Point corridor. Yes. Okay. The way we did that is we shifted the entrance back. By doing that, it elongates the drive-through, which will hopefully allow us to make this a much more efficient process for getting cars through the Chick-fil-A. The plan is relatively simple. As I said earlier, it was designed primarily to allow people to work there, obviously be entertained there, and if they have any specific needs for the parking or whatever, we accommodated all that. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, we have more than enough ample parking for the whole project, which was always a concern, especially for the town residents. I guess the only issue that we have right now is making sure that everybody in the community feels comfortable with the plan. The plan was designed not to create an incredible amount of traffic. It was designed, as I said, to create solutions for the community in terms of traffic flow, especially as it relates to Chick-fil-A, and it was designed to bring in more jobs into the area.
I have a, well, does anybody else have any comments or questions?
What was your name? I didn't get your name.
My name is George Sarkis.
County or the town
now? This is in a county today, so it would have to be annexed into the town in order for us to create the development.
This is the same property, Kathy, we had a discussion on the telephone?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What has, actually, I think on the telephone we were talking about the area next to the Chick-fil-A, and that's in the county, and that's going to stay in the county, correct?
The area next to us, adjacent to us, is in the town of Mount Pleasant.
The one next to the Chick-fil-A?
Property?
No. I'm talking about the gas station.
The fuel station.
That's
stay
county.
In the county.
So that's not, I mean, it's on the picture, but it's not part of the project, and they're not going to be asking for annexation related to that. So it's really annexation for economic development, where a lot of this is going to be geared towards attracting technology and logistics companies. So just so people know, we've been working on this for quite a while, and we actually have a very strong possibility of an anchor tenant who might take as much as 40,000 square feet. It's a company that's already in Mount Pleasant that's been growing very well. And just so you know how serious they are, they've actually aligned all of their current leases to be able to be up about the time that this could be built. So that's a very strong possibility. But certainly there's going to, as this gets further along, there's probably going to be a lot more interest because it's so close to 526. There's a lot going on. Obviously across the street is Bell Hall Shopping Center. And I remember when this came out in the news, I think you told me, Mr. Sarkis, that you got calls from people that were upset with your original design of something that had residential in it, and instead people were calling and thanking you and letting you know how excited they were about this. So I would say the biggest thing that's changed is the configuration. You figured out how to get all that parking in.
Well, two things, basically. We have more parking because, obviously, we reduced office from 90,000 to roughly 50,000. Mm-hmm. That helped us in some ways. The other element was the fact that we are going to do on-street parking, which also helps us. Mm-hmm. And it'll actually make that more of an urban feel, which is, you know, really what a lot of communities are trying to achieve now. Mm-hmm. So we incorporated that in the plan as well.
In case anyone's concerned about the surrounding area, right across the street is a self-storage unit. And then there's land that is not being used for anything right now, perhaps in the future, but there's issues with how they would get hook up for sewage and all that. Behind is Paul Foster Field. Paul Foster Road, and there's a field at Mount Pleasant Rec, and then we have Edwards, right, the rec center. So pretty much that whole center. Exactly. And so one of the things that I've heard a number of times from people in the area as well as from the owners of the land, that he mentioned other things they find. This is actually a safety issue, too. This property right now is not just piles of concrete. It's not barbed wire, but it's a chicken wire kind of that kind of a fence around it, and people do go in there at night. Apparently, you find paraphernalia that we prefer not to have happening. So there's a lot going on there that is not safe to have so close to so many places where you have children, and being able to turn this into a beautiful, open, walking area. I think you intend to have some green space on there. Isn't that a retention pond that would have?
Yes, it is. Todd's actually our designer. He actually did our plan design. He may be able to describe what his thoughts process was when he did this design for us, specifically because I did have a number of conversations with him about this. Maybe he could give you a little insight into what his efforts were.
Great.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. My name's Todd Richardson. I'm principal with Synchronicity. I'm a land planner and landscape architect. So I've got the board here, too, to just quickly reference. The goal, as you all know, with any of our DRB processes in the town, is to try to get our massing up on our major corridors. That's where we address our height and scale and mass here and do our parking and business in the rear. It especially made sense here along the context of Bell Point Drive. We really wanted to incorporate the office and its height more towards the rear, but to address the road as much as possible. The addition of the on-street parking really helped in our kind of stepped retail office concept and coming up and everything really addressing. And then also having internal circulation with Building D here to really make this quite a successful block from a circulation standpoint. A lot of pedestrian connectivity, that's a huge driver. You do have some neighborhoods that are, they're not close, but they're closer. So that gives a great opportunity for connectivity for bikes and walking to get to these services. Our goal really has been to try to give a great local working and living opportunity to those folks who live nearby. So I think the biggest thing too is efficient parking layout. We're going to be doing a mix of underground and above ground stormwater detention as we work through with some low-impact development practices to manage our stormwater as best we can while putting all these into use. It was really key for us. We moved back about an acre. It's rectilinear, but the entrance currently to Chick-fil-A is about here. So even moving this back from our consultation with our traffic engineer was a really big deal for lessening impacts and stresses that are currently happening on this intersection. So that's going to help a lot. We've added a lot of stacking to Chick-fil-A. We've also added a lot of accessory parking. As we've seen the COVID model shift our food retail environment, there are a lot of pull-up and wait stations that have been added to Chick-fil-A's nationally. I used to do a lot of work for Chick-fil-A, so I know how they operate. So this is really a big deal in adding those here, as well as exit parking and shared overflow parking. So in every area where we have building mass and we have direct and close by overflow parking in case you have a shift in demand. We're pretty happy with the circulation of the plan. We think it addresses it very well, incorporated everything from expected trees that we would need. We wanted to make sure that we had enough building program, obviously, for the job to be economically viable, but also to have enough room to give some buffering, some outdoor spaces. We're seeing that shift now in the office products that we are developing for clients, is there's more of a desire to be outside, more outside program. It's not only just because of COVID reaction, but it's just really great from a mental and health and well-being standpoint. So we're really trying to give a lot of outdoor spaces for cafe break spaces, nature walks where we can, rest and relaxation areas, little pods. Those make a big deal in the working day. So that's just kind of our general approach to the plan. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. We're still early on, but we're really excited about the direction we're heading.
Any questions? Tom? Well, Todd, thank you so much. That all looks great. And stressing again that you already said it now, but the area for the restaurants is maybe the idea of a food court where people can go, families, even if they don't work there, children in strollers and so forth can walk up and enjoy it and have a lot of green space. With that pond area, I think it was maybe perhaps even going to have a fountain, something yes. That will look really attractive.
Yeah, that helps with aesthetics and mosquito abatement.
Yeah, yeah. So big difference from big piles of concrete.
Right.
Well, thank you.
Those are pushing for an ice cream shop.
So. Oh, yeah. Well,
we're going for that. I just want the coffee.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people saying, can we get a mini Best Buy as long as we have a Geek Squad, or can we get an Apple store? And, you know, I mean, it's a technology campus. You never know. But there will be some retail in there as well as the restaurants, so
right.
As well as the office. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
That was our last item other than adjourn. Is there anything else for the good of this meeting? All right, well, then we will stand adjourned.